The scripture text for today's sermon is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 1 from verse 3 to 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verses 3 to 7. And I shall read for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation.
Dear friends, today we do hear much of people saying that even as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may not have to suffer in this life. Yes, we do hear, do we not so? Christian leaders even teaching their followers that our God is a very gracious and loving Savior. And so, being Christians, we should be blessed with good health and with prosperity, with goodness in life, that our lives should be problem-free, no problems in life. And so they say that if you do not have health, if you are not prosperous and you are facing many problems in life, then it could be so that you may not be even a believer, that you may not be a Christian, or it could be that you are living in sin if you are a Christian. There was once a man, a non-believer, and he was talking to another man who is a believer. And this unbeliever has the impression that Christians are free from unhappiness in life, from troubles, from mishaps, from problems, from difficulties. That Christians are always blessed by their God. And so this man who is an unbeliever told the believer, the Christian, that his life should be that way. But the Christian told this man that it is not as you thought so. No, it is not true. The Christian man said to the unbeliever to consider himself, that is the Christian himself, that he is not rich, but rather that he has to be working very hard, and he has to really slot in life, and he has to struggle in life to earn a living to feed his family, his loved ones. And when this unbeliever heard the Christian saying this, he was very surprised and told the Christian, "How can you say such things? How can you blaspheme your God?" That's what the unbeliever told the believer. That isn't your God so great that if you pray to him and ask him to bless you with good health and strength and prosperity, and will he not hear you and will do so? Well, of course, it is not wrong for this unbeliever to say this. Truly, our God is a great God and he can bless us with good health and strength and even with prosperity. And when we pray to him, if it is his will, our God is a God who owes us nothing, and in fact, he's a God who provides us with all things that we need in life. He can do it. But the Lord God has his will for each and every one of us. It is not wrong for this unbeliever to say this. But it is wrong for him, because it is wrong for him to say that this Christian should not be thinking of it this way, that his life is a struggle and that, yes, he has to struggle truly to make ends meet. It is a misconception that this unbeliever has, that a Christian, if he believes in his Lord God Almighty, that he can provide, then he must be rich and he must be blessed with goodness with health. What does the Bible tell us? Even in our text this morning, as we read in verses 3 to 4, it says here, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation." Now, the word blessed here is used of God. It is not the same word as the word blessed that we see, that we read in the Beatitudes. The word blessed here is the word in Greek, eulogetos, which is the word where we get the English word eulogy. Eulogy is when we say things good about somebody, in praise of this somebody, especially at a funeral, we have eulogy, we give praise and thanks to the person, the deceased. So Paul here is saying, praise to God, praise be to God. It is referring to the Lord God Almighty. And what reason is he praising God for? Paul is praising here the Lord God Almighty for the fact that God is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Yes, praise God indeed, so that he is a Father of mercies and a God of all comfort. And the word mercy here means compassion too. And this reminds us of Lamentations 3:22-23. It says there that it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not, they are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. Truly, how wonderful words of life these are. Truly, it is the Lord God Almighty who is a God of mercy, and because of that, we are not consumed. And his compassion fail not, they are new every morning. And so we are able to be preserved by the Lord God Almighty, even to come this morning to worship him in spirit and in truth. As we think of the many people suffering in this world, even of the people in Japan now, truly we thank God that the Lord God has been merciful and gracious and compassionate towards us, to spare us, even this country, from natural disaster. Yes, truly the Lord God has a special plan for us, that we may be spared even to continue to live a life for him and to serve him, and to be able to be here even this morning to worship him and to serve him. Well, not only that God is a God of compassion and comfort, but he comforts us in all our tribulation or trouble. You see these two words being used here in this verse, in verse 4. And they are the same word in Greek, trouble or tribulation. Truly, our God is a God who comforts us in all our tribulation or trouble. And what it means is, yes, that we have a God who comforts us in all our oppression, in all our affliction, in all our troubles, in distress, and in sufferings that we go through in life. So Christians do suffer. Christians are not immune to sufferings, to troubles, difficulties in life. Otherwise, why is God known as a Father of mercies and a God of all comfort? If we do not suffer, then why does the Holy Spirit tell us here that we have a Father of mercies and a Father of God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation? If we do not experience sufferings in life as children of God, then this will be not true. But it is not so. What it means, therefore, that God is a God of compassion and a God of mercies, God of all comfort, and he comforts us in all our tribulation, that we do, therefore, go through sufferings and difficulties in life. Christianity is therefore not a religion about health, about wealth all the time, about no problem in life, no troubles, no difficulties. If someone were to tell us that Christianity is about all these things, then it is from the devil. If becoming a Christian equals no problems in life, and then we do not need to have a God to comfort us in times of trouble. We don't need to have such a God. Such will be a diabolical teaching. If one were to tell you that Christian life means that it is a life free from problems, it means that we don't have a Father of mercies and a God of all comfort to comfort us in all troubles. That means the word of God is not true, and this is a diabolical teaching. Nevertheless, even as Christians do suffer in life, we thank God. We can thank and praise the Lord God Almighty that even as we have this passage with us this morning, we can see three things here. What will happen to us when we suffer? The first thing to note in the scripture text this morning is that when we suffer, we have a God to comfort us when we encounter our troubles in life. Note that it is not only about spiritual trouble that Paul is talking about here, but rather it is about also about troubles that we face in our life. Not just about troubles being living a faithful Christian life to serve the Lord God Almighty. Note that Paul here says that all our tribulation, all our troubles, all sorts of troubles that we do face in life. So our God will show His mercy and comfort to us all who do face troubles in life. Whatever troubles that we may be facing. Isn't this encouraging? And isn't this so comforting that we have a God who will comfort us in all troubles, including financial trouble, relationship, career, even day-to-day living. We may encounter troubles in life, but it is all covered here. And even the trouble of having to face the sickness and death of our loved ones. Such kind of tribulations and troubles and sufferings, we have a God of comfort to comfort us. When we encounter them, when we go through them, are we in some kind of trouble? Is there someone who is going through some difficulties and troubles in life and struggles? Whatever trouble that you may have, let us take courage that our God in heaven knows what that we are going through. He's aware what that we are facing as we struggle in this life. And He's ready to comfort us. That's the most wonderful thing. Not only that He knows that we are going through troubles, but He's ready to comfort us. Remember that God's eyes are on us always. Even as His eyes are on the little sparrow, the Lord Jesus Christ says, how much worth are we compared to the sparrows? If God were to take care of the little sparrows, will He not take care of us even more? We who are blood-bought children, the Lord Jesus Christ had to come down from heaven's glory and to die for us, to redeem our souls even unto eternity. And if God does take care of the little sparrows and none of them would fall without the Lord knowing, would not the Lord take care of us and care for us and comfort us? Do we ever doubt if God will comfort us? Yes, do we doubt if God will comfort us? Do we doubt if He's a God of comfort, if He's truly the God of all comfort and Father of all mercies? If we do so, let us stop doubting. Stop doubting and start believing. Start trusting that we have a Father of mercies and God of all comfort to comfort us each time we may encounter our troubles in life. But being flesh and blood, yes, sometimes we do doubt. We do doubt if God is there to comfort us and to help us in times of troubles, especially when we encounter trouble after trouble. Yes, there may be some who may be not just encountering troubles, but they encounter trouble upon trouble in their lives. And during such time, such people may start to doubt whether if God is there to comfort them, to help them. And they may even cry unto the Lord God Almighty, why is this thing happening to me? Why, oh Lord? Why me, Lord? Have you ever asked such a question before and cry unto the Lord God even with this prayer? Why me, Lord? Why does the Lord allow suffering in my life? Why, O Lord God Almighty, are You not the God of mercy and the God of all comfort? And am I not the child of God? And why are You allowing me to go through these things? Well, dear brethren, these things are happening to us so that we can truly experience the comfort of our merciful and compassionate God. Yes, it is only that when we are going through some kind of trouble and we are struggling and suffering and that we know the need to be comforted. And how wonderful it is to be comforted. And we want to be comforted. We long to be comforted. And we will also then know how to appreciate. When the Lord God Almighty was to comfort us, we will then experience that it is truly very comforting to experience the comfort of the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Otherwise, when life is all smooth sailing and we are free from trouble and we are blessed with good health and strength, and everything is okay in life. Then we, being sinful human beings, we will not even cry unto the Lord God for help. We will not even long for His comfort, even for His mercies and compassion. We will not be seeking our merciful God to comfort us in our life. There's this hymn, Day by Day, which many of us, I believe, do love to sing. And each time when we sing them, are we not comforted by it? But let us realize that this hymn did not come easy. It was written by the hymn writer by the name of Lena Sandelberg. And it was written after a tragic experience that she had gone through. This experience had greatly influenced her life. And what happened is that she was accompanying her father to go for a preaching engagement. And the father was a devout Lutheran minister, and they were on board a ship to a certain city in Sweden, sailing across a lake. But suddenly, the ship, it was shaken, and Lena's father fell overboard, and right in front of this girl's eyes, the father drowned. Yes, can you imagine that? To see your loved one and they're dying right in front of you and struggling in the sea and in the water and dying. She was devastated, but we thank God that being a devoted child of God, and she did not complain to the Lord God Almighty, but rather in God's comfort she expressed a tender childlike trust in the Lord God Almighty, even with the words that the Lord God, the Holy Spirit, gave to him. The words that she, yes, the words for the hymn, Day by Day, the words just freely flow through her broken heart. Today we sing this hymn, and maybe, yes, each time as we sing this hymn now, remember that the Lord God Almighty does take care of us day by day. No matter what troubles that we go through in life, let us focus upon the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Even the Lord God Almighty, the God of all comfort, the Father of mercies, as we face challenges and difficulties of our day-to-day living. There is always a God of comfort and a Father of mercies to comfort us in the troubles and the struggles that we encounter. There's a kind of grief that many people find difficult to overcome in our life. We may be able to overcome many types of grief, but there's one particular grief which many of us may find too difficult and may take a long time for us to overcome, and that is to grieve over the loss of a loved one. The death of a child, or the death of a spouse, or someone whom we dearly love. But we thank God that even such kind of grief, the Lord God Almighty, the Father of mercies and the God of comfort, can comfort us. Yes. So God does give us His words of comfort for people who encounter death. Remember 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 18? Yes, this is a very beautiful passage, and we shall not read it, but you just take note of it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 18, those who have not, might not have known it. This is a passage which we normally hear them, hear ministers read, recite this passage at a gravesite, especially when the body is lowered into the pit. Yes, truly these are words of great comfort when it's been read, and the loved ones standing around, and when they hear these words being spoken to us, we are comforted. Comforted in that sense that the loved ones has gone home to be with the Lord. And isn't this a great comfort? Gone home to be with the Lord, and not only that, but the day will come when we will see one another face to face again. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns, yes, we will see our loved ones again. And the Holy Spirit inspired these words truly to comfort us. And it is instructed of us to even use these words to comfort one another. The last verse there tells us that we are to comfort one another even with these words. Yes, in time of bereavement, let us comfort one another even with the words of even the Lord God Almighty, that there's a Father of mercies and God of comfort to comfort us. God is our greatest comfort in even such grievous moments in our life, to have lost our loved ones. So we thank God that truly in times of trouble, we have a God who is able to comfort us, even with His mercies and with His compassion. And in verse 4, it continues to say, who comforts us in all our tribulation, all our troubles, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Here we see the purpose of God comforting us in all our tribulation. What is it for? Yes. Why are we comforted? Why does God comfort us in terms of our tribulation and troubles? For the purpose that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. That's what the Word of God tells us here. And how are we to comfort? By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So we want to consider the second point here, is that when we suffer, we have a God who is preparing us to be of His use to comfort someone in trouble. Note again here, it is about any trouble. It is not necessarily only spiritual trouble, but all sorts of trouble that we do encounter in life. Yes, it is because in the first place that we have suffered and then experienced the comfort of the merciful God and the gracious Father, that we will be enabled then to comfort someone in turn in trouble. At times we may try to comfort someone who has suffered very much, even the loss of loved ones, and or experience something that is unpleasant. But such a person may, in the desperation, tell us in our face, you know, that what do you know about the suffering that I'm going through? What do you know about the loss of loved ones that I'm going through? The struggles that I'm going through, the troubles, the difficulties, the loss of job, and what do you know? You yourself have not gone through it. You are not in my shoes. How can you empathize with me? You have not experienced what I'm going through. But if we have gone through some sufferings before ourselves, yes, if we have gone through some challenges in life, and it may not be of the same nature, but we have gone through some kind of trouble in life, and we have suffered, and then we have been comforted by the Lord God Almighty. We have received His comfort. And when we share the comfort that we have received from the Lord God Almighty, from the Father of mercies and God of comfort, then it will be very effective. God can use us to be of comfort to such kind of people. This is what Paul is saying here. And Paul is saying in verse 6, and we see here that he says, and whether we be afflicted, and we know that Paul's life, he had gone through a lot of suffering, even in his ministries, in serving the Lord God, he has gone through a lot of affliction. And he says here, and whether, in verse 6, and whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and your and salvation, deliverance, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings, which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. So the affliction that we have suffered and the comfort that we have received from God, God has allowed us to go through such experience that we may be able to testify of God's goodness and of how the Lord God has blessed us, even with His comfort, even with His mercies. In so doing, it will be effective in helping the sufferer to endure and be patient in going through his suffering, even as we share the sufferings that we have gone through and the comfort that we have received from the Lord God Almighty. It will then be effective when God uses us to comfort such people. So let us not complain each time when we do go through difficulties and sufferings, and we receive the comfort from the Lord God Almighty. We know that God has a purpose in it. We may not see it now at that moment, but in times to come when we may encounter someone, a friend or a loved one, and who may be going through some terrible difficulties in life and struggles, will then be used of the Lord God to be a comfort to such a person. Have we not noted of how many people who have gone through life and had suffered much in life, and how the Lord God has used them, used the suffering and the comfort that they have received of the Lord God Almighty to be a deliverance for us all? Yes, we can think of many hymn writers especially. There are many of them, how they wrote their beautiful and comforting hymns, and many of them it is after some terrible mishap or some devastation that they have gone through in life. and how they cried to the Lord God Almighty, how they prayed, and the Holy Spirit gave them those words of comfort to write into poems and translated into hymns for us to sing today, even to receive the comfort that they have received even from the Lord God Almighty. Many of these, and some of them have lost their loved ones, and some precious children, even young children, and some even losing eyesight, and how the Lord God has used them to write beautiful hymns to bless us today, to be of comfort to us. We may think of one, and that is Fanny Crosby. She faced a kind of personal tragedy that could cause discouragement and depression to anyone, but to her it turned out into a blessing for her and also for Christendom, for Christians in Christendom. As an infant, Fanny Crosby was accidentally blinded by a country doctor's application of some wrong medication. Yet she never became bitter in her soul. Instead, her spirit was always one of joy and enthusiasm. And to Fanny Crosby, the Father of Mercies and God of all comfort gave her songs in a darkened world, even through her living experience, through suffering of not being able to see. And for the words that the Lord God had given to him, the songs, the hymns that the Lord God had given to her, how the Lord God has used them even to bless millions of Christians today. Do we not enjoy singing the hymns that were written by her and have been blessed by her? Truly, yes, such a lady had suffered and comforted by the Father of Mercies and God of all comfort, and truly used of the Lord God to be a comfort to us all today. In fact, when she died 6 weeks before her 96th birthday, she left the world a rich legacy of gospel songs written in the night seasons to bless us all even today, for those of us who go through night seasons in our life. Yes, these hymn writers had experienced what they had experienced not by chance, but truly God has a purpose in allowing them to go through all the sufferings, and then in showing them mercy and grace and in comforting them, so that they may be used of the Lord God Almighty to be a comfort to all sufferers even today. In turn, sufferers who experience the blessings even from being blessed by how the Lord God has used these people to bless them and comfort them, will then in turn be able to bless others as well. So let us not be in dismay when we do suffer in life, or we do go through many troubles. Let us not wallow in self-pity, but rather let us realize and understand that God has a purpose. It may be some unfavorable situation that we go through in life, but always remember that even as God has allowed us to suffer, He is always the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort to comfort us. And even as we receive of the comfort of the Lord God, will be used of the Lord God to comfort someone who is in trouble. Thirdly, let us note that when we suffer, and the more we suffer, we have a God who comforts us even more so. Yes, He will give us even more comfort, more grace to bear with our sufferings. In verse 15, Paul says here, "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ." And in verse 7 also it says, "As ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye be also of the consolation." So we have seen, firstly, how in all our troubles, we have a God who comforts us. And secondly, the troubles that we encounter in life are for a purpose, that we may be used of the Lord God Almighty, who will enable us to be of comfort to others in trouble in turn. But there may be some believers who may be suffering more than others. Not all of us to go through the same kind of sufferings or the same amount of sufferings. There may be some who suffer more than others, especially when they live their lives zealously for the Lord God Almighty, serving Him faithfully and, yes, for the cause of Christ and for the cause of the gospel, and they are much persecuted in life. They will suffer even the sufferings of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Sufferings. Suffering even like how the Lord Jesus Christ suffered. And Paul and many of the Lord's disciples, apostles, had such kind of experience. Paul, in writing to the church in Colossae, wrote in Colossians 1:24, talking about his suffering. There he writes, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. So we see that Paul, though in his sufferings and his afflictions that he went through in life, he would not complain, right? But rather he would thank the Lord God Almighty that he was able to suffer for Christ. The afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake. Also in the epistle to Timothy, Paul testified there in 2 Timothy 3:11-12. He says that persecutions and afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. This is Paul's testimony. He had suffered many persecutions and afflictions, but all those that he had endured, all the persecutions and afflictions he endured, he really was thankful unto the Lord God Almighty, because he could experience the Lord's deliverance. And he knew that he would be used of the Lord God to be a blessing to others. All those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Paul the Apostle was one who suffered much in his ministry. But he realized that he was suffering for the cause of Christ, even for the gospel. Now the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ experienced the afflictions that they went through with the sufferings of Christ. And those arose from opposition and from contempt, from persecution, from trial, and from many things that he went through in life. Very much the same as what the Lord Jesus Christ had gone through, even as the Lord God came in this world to live and suffer for you and me. And the more they remain faithful and zealous unto the Lord God Almighty, consecrated unto the Lord God and served him faithfully, the more they would suffer for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But even as the more they suffer for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the more comfort and grace they did receive from the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the consolation that they have received from the Lord God Almighty, even as they suffered much, would increase, even as their sufferings increase. They will be even more comforted each time when they suffer more and more for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Truly, this is a blessed experience, a blessed occurrence, isn't it so? Our God is a God who is merciful and gracious. As we live a life that is holy and righteous unto him, even as we may suffer persecution and many troubles, but the Lord God Almighty will give us much comfort and even more comfort, more and more, if we were to suffer more and more for him. So if we already desire to receive more of God's comfort, then what we ought to do is to live a holy life unto the Lord God Almighty. Paul says that those who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So if you are to desire more comfort, even from the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, let us therefore resolve to live a holy life, to live a life faithful unto him, to serve him faithfully, to devote our life, even to live for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To be prepared to face trials and persecutions in life, even as they live a holy life. Perhaps some of us who are maybe encountering just normal troubles and tribulations in life, common to many of us here, but we have not yet experienced the sufferings like that of the sufferings of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not that we can suffer like the Lord Jesus Christ, but there may be some who may be suffering very much in life, even as they live their life for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Have we ever suffered much, even for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in our Christian life? Why is it that we have not suffered much, so that we may be blessed even more so by the Father of mercies and God of all comfort? Is it because we are not prepared to live a life that is devoted and holy unto the Lord God Almighty? That we are not prepared to face trials in life, fiery trials and persecutions, and to stand firm for our faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Is it because we are afraid to suffer even for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Not that we should always be wanting to ask for trouble or to suffer in life, but are we prepared to suffer for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to suffer persecution by living a holy life and righteous unto him? to serve Him faithfully. It may be that we are afraid to suffer much, and therefore we therefore do not want to live a life that is holy, the life that we ought to be living, even for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so, even so, if we do not go through such kind of suffering, more suffering from the Lord, then we may not receive more blessings, even of comfort, from the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Are we afraid of not being able to handle much tribulation in life, many troubles? If it is so, then we are just missing out on the blessings of receiving abounding consolation of Christ. Because the word tells us here that as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, increase and overflow in us, so our consolation also abounds by Christ. So if we are prepared to suffer much, especially for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in our Christian living, then we will be blessed with much consolation and with much comfort by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The more we suffer for Christ, the more we will be comforted by Him. There was once a brother shared with me concerning a Christian friend of his who is afraid to face trials in life. And in fact, the Christian friend is living a life that seems very blessed. And many people would like to live that kind of life, even Christian. Very simple life and very tranquil. And in fact, this Christian is well-to-do, and he's blessed with children and seems to be growing well and well-behaved. And his life seems to be very smooth sailing, seems to be trouble-free. And he's so comfortable, and it's just so good that he's afraid that when trials come into his life, he will not be able to take it. And so he'll cry unto the Lord God, and he prays that for God's grace to spare him from troubles in life, and for God's grace to help him, not that trials will not come to him in his life. But if you were to look at his life carefully, such a person who is afraid to experience troubles and trials and even to suffer for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you look at his life, he's just for the Sunday Christian. Yes, just coming to church on the Lord's Day and then go home and then live his life as a very normal human being in the rest of the week. And he's not serving the Lord God faithfully, not zealous for the Lord God, not standing firm for the faith. And so he does not suffer any persecution in life. He does not contend for his faith. And he does not even bother to fellowship with saints, with fellow saints. So as a result, he lives a peaceful Christian life. Very peaceful. But no experience of sufferings and even sufferings of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what it does mean is that he does not experience and enjoy the blessings and the abounding comfort of the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Dear friends, do we like our lives? Do we like that of such a Christian? No. Rather, let us not be afraid to stand up and to suffer persecutions for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to stand trials and to be partakers of Christ's sufferings. And in so doing, the Lord will grant us sufficient grace, even more grace and more comfort and more consolations, that is all prepared and always prepared to help us, to allow us to enjoy them, even as we endure sufferings in this life, for Christ's sake especially. There's a very comforting and encouraging Christian hymn entitled, "He Gives More Grace." Yes, the Lord will give us more and more grace if you are to look up to Him and trust in Him and to wait upon Him and not be afraid of sufferings in life. This hymn was written by an amazing woman by the name of Annie Johnson Flint. Well, from a very young age, she suffered much. She was afflicted with rheumatoid arthritis, and it left her crippled and unable to rise from bed. And so she had to rest in bed most of the time. And because of this, she had to rest in bed and slept in bed most of the time, and she developed sores. And to make things worse, and she ended up having cancer. But her attitude towards all the struggles and pain, the confinement that she had gone through, was that of submission. Submission to the Lord God Almighty. No complaining and no challenging of God Almighty. But rather, yielding her life and fully trusting the Lord God Almighty and putting his faith still in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And looking up to God for grace, even more grace, to help her to cope with all her sufferings, grace that she needs. And the Lord God granted her much grace. Yes, grace, even wisdom, even inspired her with words to write beautiful hymns. Hymns of solace and comfort for herself and also for people like us today, even as we sing her hymns. And one of her favorite poems is this: He giveth more grace. Yes, truly so. That even as we suffer and not afraid to suffer, and as we suffer even for to live a holy life and righteous unto the Lord God Almighty, the Lord God will grant us much grace, even to experience, to go through all this, to bear all these sufferings. For God is a God of mercies and comfort, and is already able to comfort us with more comfort, even when we do suffer more. So do not be afraid, for when we suffer, God will grant us more grace, even to bear with them. So dear friends, why do we suffer even as we are saved by the grace of God? Yes, especially for us who are born again children of God. Suffering in this life has significance for us. It is not like those who do not have the Lord God Almighty as their God and Father and whom they can call up even for comfort. Sufferings in the life, this life, may not be have much meaning for them, and they may be always complaining. Truly, the sufferings that we go through in this life has great significance, especially for us who are blood-bought children. It is not for nothing. It is not as if there's a great and powerful Creator who sits up there in heaven above and look down upon his children and see them suffering and just poking fun at them and laughing each time when they suffer. No, it is not that. But rather, the Lord God Almighty is a God who may allow us to suffer, but he's always there, preparing to comfort us. For he is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. In Lamentations 3:31-33, very comforting words here that says, "For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men." So the Lord may allow us to go through certain griefs in life, yet he is always compassionate and merciful towards us because he is full of mercies and he does not afflict willingly nor grieve the children of men. For those who do not have God, yes, some heathen, when they go through times of suffering and they may just cry up and then, "Oh Heavenly Father," you know, the Chinese would say, "Lao Tian Ye, oh Heavenly Father, why are you doing this to me? Why are you putting me through this suffering?" And they just cannot understand. Such people have no answer, even though they may be full of human intelligence. Yes, there was once one great leader of the world and who had no answer as he sadly lamented his wife as he saw her suffering and dying. But for you and me, dear friends, who are redeemed by the blood of Christ, we who are children who are washed by the blood of Christ, we can offer praise and thanks to the Lord God Almighty when we suffer. Yes, because we have a God who is the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. And we understand, firstly, that when we suffer, we have a God who is there to comfort us when we encounter our troubles in life. That is, God does not leave us to suffer alone. He's always there to comfort us. And secondly, when we suffer, God is preparing us to be used of him, to be a comfort to someone who is in trouble later on in life. So God has a divine purpose even when we suffer. And thirdly, when we suffer, the more we suffer, the more comfort we will receive from the Lord God Almighty, even the God of all comfort, the Father of mercies. That is, God gives us more grace to cope with our much suffering. So may we give praise and thanks to the Lord God Almighty, even like Paul says here, "Blessed," that is, "praise be to God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort." May God bless us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, O Lord God Almighty, how we thank thee, even for these comforting words in thy holy word. Lord, to help us to realize and to be reminded that indeed, we can praise God, for we have a Father of mercies and a God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, that we may be able to comfort them who may be in trouble. But a comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So Lord, help us in times of trouble to realize that you have a purpose, O Lord, in allowing us to go through them. And Lord, we thank thee and praise thee that even as we suffer in life, especially when we are persecuted for Christ's sake, O Lord, when the sufferings abound in us, we thank thee that the consolation of Christ aboundeth more even in us. So Lord, may thou grant us thy grace and thy strength even to continue to believe and to trust in thee, that thou art the Father of mercies and a God of all comfort, and not to be doubtful of thee in times when we do suffer in life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.